As many of you know, Marge and I are moving. We're moving a half mile away from where we live now. Moving is an event. For those, I guess everybody here has moved one time or another. But we're not only moving, we're downsizing. So moving in itself is difficult, but then to downsize at the same time, you have to decide quickly what stays and what goes. The attic, the basement, the garage, they're all under attack, throwing things out best we can. The other day I was walking by Marge and I heard her whispering. She said, if I only had 3 cubic feet more, I could take some more of my memories. The next thing I know, she had a tape measure across my back. I don't know. Again, seriously, downsizing is not easy. I just brought a few things in our garage. And this is a partial instruction book on making model airplanes. And I don't know where that came from. Paul, was that Paul? This is John's. He has rewards for track. He had a good career in track. So what do you think? Throw it out? Keep it? Throw it out? This is Susan's. It's an academic awards blanket. She doesn't want it. Throw it out. Will you tell me what this is? It's a Halloween costume. Oreo cookie. We gave everybody a cup of milk. I don't know how this got into our garage. Believe me, I don't know. You're going to Pastor Tim. I brought Big Bird to the church. And he's not going to let me preach again. I think that's a giveaway, but I'd like to give it to somebody who could use it. Anyway. Danica? Has claimed already. Well, I went over the bookshelves, but I'm still in competition with Big Bird for space. With the decision to downsize comes the burden of throwing out. This year, down at the shore, we got a new neighbor. Here we are downsizing at home and under construction at the shore. We have a new neighbor named Richard. He bought the empty lot next door to us, and he put 40 pilings in the ground. 25-foot pilings he drove into the ground 15 feet. So there's a 15-foot deep foundation and 10-foot exposed to support the first floor. It was interesting. Each piling took less than 2 minutes to put in the ground. Once they got in position, just went right in. Our house was sitting 10 feet away, and I was concerned that there would be some cracks or something in the walls from the piles being driven. And everything was fine. I asked the owner of the company, I said, what damage should I expect? You're putting in these pilings. He says, You may have to straighten a picture or two. I didn't have to straighten any pictures. It's pretty good. Well, that got me thinking about foundations in general and clutters and the message of this morning's service about the foundation of our life as Christians. And as I did some studies, I came with this thought that the Christian life is built on the foundation of faith, service, godliness, hope, and good works. You'll remember it by the end of the sermon. The Christian life is built on the foundation of faith, service, godliness, hope, and good works. Five times in his writings, the Apostle Paul calls attention to foundational questions, foundational issues, foundational principles of life, with the qualifying phrase, "It is a wealthy statement." Five times he says that. It is a trustworthy statement. All five of these declarations appear in what is called the pastoral letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. So here are five essentials to teach a congregation. Here are five lessons that each of us should be following day by day. Listen to them. 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to die for sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. 1 Timothy 3:1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. 1 Timothy 4:8 and 9. Bodily discipline is only of little value, little profit. I tell my wife all the time that bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. For it too is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we die with him, we will also live with him. And finally, Titus 3:8. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. Engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. The Christian life is built on the foundation of faith, service, godliness, hope, and good works. Christian life is built on the foundation of faith, service, godliness, good works, hope, and good works. We'll get it. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. The "of all" is probably an editor's addition to that text. I don't think Paul is saying that he is the worst of sinners, point blank. I think he's saying he's numbered among the worst of sinners, because he doesn't know all the sinners of the world. Now, what can we learn about Paul's view of Jesus? We learn that Jesus is an eternal, spiritual, and physical person. He appears in time, but he exists before time. Jesus came to earth on a moral, spiritual mission by becoming a physical person. Jesus came into this divinely prepared world, a world positioned in an ever-expanding universe, and into a solar system beyond our comprehension. God went to all that trouble, all that extreme, to save us, the best of us and the worst of us. God did all of this to prepare a place to wage a spiritual warfare for the rescue of humanity. He created this universe so he could show his love for people and his defense of those who oppose him. God did all of this to prepare a place to wage spiritual warfare for our benefit, for the rescue of humanity. So life is sustained in the world by the creative design of God, centering on the person and the mission of Jesus Christ. So we exist for God through Christ. That's why we exist. If we don't find our meaning in God, if we don't find our meaning in Christ, we have wrong meanings. Jesus is the promised deliverer. He is the Christ, the anointed one, the designated one. He is Jesus, Joshua of the Old Testament, the Savior. One pillar of the foundation for Christian living is having complete confidence in the person of Christ. Complete confidence in Him. Mess up here and you're really messed up. If you deny Christ's humanity, you are wrong. If you deny Christ's deity, you are wrong. If you are confused about Jesus, you are really confused about God. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. First, He came to save us from the eternal punishment we deserve for our sin. He came to deliver us from the punishment of our sin. Christ died for the ungodly, so that the ungodly would not be sent to hell if they trust in Christ. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. We are declared forgiven through faith in Jesus. We are justified by faith in Jesus. Second, He came to save us not just from the punishment we deserve, but also He came to save us from the power of sin that torments us. We are enslaved to the power of sin apart from Jesus. As the girl on the Liberty Insurance commercial says, "Hey, insurance company, nobody's perfect." She nailed it. We need transformation by the Holy Spirit. Third, He came to save us from the presence of sin by faith in Him. In other words, we're saved from the practice of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. All through Jesus. That's what He wants to do in our life. He came to save us from the presence of sin by faith in Him. We are sealed, marked for the day by the indwelling Holy Spirit, who will gather us together with Jesus in heaven at His future coming. We need to think clearly about Jesus. We need to think clearly about salvation. We need to not be drowsy. And so I thought I'd do something different. I thought we'd break out in song. Actually, Bob and Rosemary are going to sing for us. And they're going to sing about Jesus. That'll keep us focused on our Savior. I'll go down here.
Feel free to join us if you know what. Sing along. Down from His glory, ever-living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was His name. Born in a manger, to His own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Without reluctance, flesh and blood His substance, He took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. And now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great creator.
Bob, thank you, Rosemary. Foundation number one, the blessings of a life of personal faith in Jesus Christ. Foundation number two, a call to Christian service. 1 Timothy 3:1, it's a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. 1 Timothy 3:1 says to me that there is no greater work for me to do than to invest my life in the spiritual growth of others. Nothing compares to that. Nothing. To invest your life in the spiritual health of other people. The decision to be a spiritual person who fosters spirituality in others is one of life's really great and important decisions. The decision to become a godly person who fosters godliness in the lives of others is one of life's really great and important opportunities. In Galatians 6, Paul wrote, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught up in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." I was watching the Eagles game, not last night, but last week. And a fellow named Tim Tebow is on the team. And he was sent in to play the quarterback position. Now, as most sports people know, Tim Tebow is a Christian who has a powerful testimony. During the second half, the one broadcaster said to the other, one announcer said to the broadcaster, "What do you think about Tim Tebow trying to make the Professional Football League?" And the announcer said this, I thought it was amazing. He said, "I have two thoughts about Tim Tebow. First, Tim Tebow is a terrific athlete and has all the skills to play on the professional level with other highly skilled professional athletes." Okay. Second, Tim Tebow is a terrific person. A terrific person. I have not met many other people like him in my life. This is a TV announcer. Wherever he goes, he makes the world a better place. This is the announcer on television, on the public station. Wherever he goes, he makes the world a better place. Didn't Jesus say his disciples were to be light and salt? We make the world a better place. Didn't Jesus say that his disciples should follow him? So what would you want people to say about you? What would people say about us? Would the word servant enter into the discussion? Would the word servant be used by others to describe our walk in the world? Would the word better be used to describe our impact on others? We're living in crazy times, and we can ignore them or suffer the consequences. The attendance in Protestant churches declines every year. In surveys about belief in God, about 1% a year forsake belief in God. 1% of those surveyed. Churches need more servants, and the church needs more better people who are making better people. We need to do a better job in living as servants to others. There are things you must choose against, such as selfishness, if you're going to choose for the life of a servant. Have faith in Jesus. That's what we're called to have. Invest your life in being a servant to others. 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a higher standard and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. It makes all the difference in your life when you have a relationship of trust with Jesus Christ. All the difference in the world. We who have made the decision to serve should make the decision to serve well. Foundation number one, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus as your Savior. Foundation two, be a servant, be a facilitator, serve other people. One of the churches we visit during vacation, a lot like Christ Community Church, that's why we visit it. That's the attraction. But in the past several weeks, the pastor's been asking for volunteers to teach their children Sunday school, and he's not getting any. And I can't understand that. How many of you, raise your hand, how many of you know the name John Wanamaker? Okay, I'm pretty much speaking to the choir here. John Wanamaker was the owner of the John Wanamaker department stores, and it was one of the most powerful corporations in the United States at one time. And John Wanamaker taught a junior high boys Sunday school class. And in an interview one day, a reporter said, "Mr. Wanamaker, why do you bother to teach a boys' Sunday school class when you have so much busy work to do?" Wanamaker said, "My money and my power support me so I can teach a Sunday school class." That's how he saw his job. That's how he saw his wealth. It supported him so he could teach that Sunday school class. Follow the path of godliness. 1 Timothy 4:8-9. For bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. It too is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. The Christian life is a life of faith. But faith is not the end all. Christian life is a life of service, but service is not the end all. Service is the well-traveled road by which those who have faith in the Lord reveal their trust in Him. The end of all is godliness. The end of all is a quality of behavior that reflects the Lord. The end of the challenge is Christian character. Godliness is at the heart of the Christian life. Godliness is the goal. Godliness lives by the convictions of the Word of God. Godliness lives by the conscience of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Godliness is character, and character is the goal. Godliness is conduct, and conduct is the goal. The godly person does good to others. The godly person does no harm to the weak, to the vulnerable, to the helpless. The godly person knows right from wrong. The godly person knows truth from lies. The godly person does not try drugs. The godly person does not exploit the poor. Godliness speaks up on behalf of the unborn. Godliness hears the cry of the unborn being aborted by the wicked. Godliness knows the sinful, inflated value of what is temporal. Godliness knows that sin within man has devalued what is important about man. Godliness approaches life through the heart and eyes of Jesus. Godliness does what Jesus would do. Since my godliness brings with it rewards and blessings in this life and in the next, it's another wise road to travel. The character of personal godliness brings us blessings that reach from time into eternity. In 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul wrote, "For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." God's decision to include you in his plan for salvation does not negate your responsibility to choose him as your Savior. There is all the world of difference between knowing Jesus and just knowing about Jesus. Foundation one, have faith in the Lord. Enter into a personal relationship of trust with Jesus. Foundation number two, be a servant to others, especially to believers. Encourage believers. Foundation three, let godliness be seen in the course of your life all the time. Make the world a better place because you're in it. Number four, live by hope in the promises of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:11 is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. Christ's plans for believers extends from this life through death into the next life forever. Christ's plan is a plan of life. Christ's plan is a plan for eternal life. Christ's plan is a powerful plan of resurrection. The Christian hope is the hope of eternal life. Our hope is not a hope against hope that has no bearing behind it. Our hope is not a hope against the hope as though we can't really be certain about it. That would be unfounded hope of speculation. But because of Christ's resurrection, we have a hope that is certain. And we're called to be certain in the way we live about that hope. Our hope is this, that there is life in heaven with Jesus immediately following when a Christian's life ends on the earth. Our hope is that there will be a day when Jesus returns from heaven to gather together forever by rapture all those who are living on the earth who are declared righteous by faith in Jesus. That is our hope. That is our conviction. Not just speculation. For those believers who have died, the Bible teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For those believers who are alive until the coming of Christ, the Bible teaches rapture and transformation. Many Bible students see two different resurrections in the Bible. First, there is the resurrection of the righteous unto eternal rewards. The resurrection of the righteous to eternal rewards. Second, there is the resurrection of the wicked unto eternal judgment. Some Bible teachers believe that in the future, after Christ's return, there will be a different series of phases of each of these resurrections as Christ moves through the world to judge the people of the world. There will be resurrection and rapture and transformation. Paul calls these plans the blessed hope of Christians that shape us, how we live. Titus 3:8. This is a trustworthy statement. Concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good works. There it's been said. Careful to engage in good works. to give ourselves to other people. These things are good and profitable for men. How a Christian lives influences how society perceives the nature of the Lord. Those who speak about their experiences with God can make the world jealous to know the Lord in such a way. It is essential that my testimony to the nature and will of God be true to the nature and will of God. It's tragic for people to say, well, I know what God's like. Well, have you read the scriptures? No, I haven't read the scriptures. But I know what God's like. That's an affront to him. He can't be known just by our walking through the earth. He must be sought after. Jesus taught that the godly are light and salt. Paul described five pillars: faith in the person and purpose of Christ, service to the church, which is the body of Christ, godliness in the disciplines of personal holiness, hope in God's revealed eternal plans, and good works towards all people. Be careful. Good works are not the means of salvation, but good works are surely the measure of our salvation. The Christian life is built on the foundation of faith, service, godliness, hope, and good works. Well, some applications. Do you possess the kind of faith that saves you? Do you possess the kind of faith that God in heaven will accept as saving faith? Are you trusting in Jesus to cancel the debt of your sins? He can do it because he paid the price. But our salvation is not in the price. Our salvation is in the person of Jesus. Do you remember when you first made the choice of Jesus? Think about that. When was it? Do you remember? If you're uncertain about when you made the choice to trust in Jesus, why don't you make it certain by trusting in him now? Whom do you desire to be saved? Sure, it's a loved one, a neighbor, a close friend. When is the last time you prayed for him or her to come to the Lord? Where in the world are you making an impact for Jesus? That's an exciting environment the Lord has allowed me to travel through. And Susan worked on the Mercy ship, and Dave Talone and I went down to help. I went as the ship's chaplain, and Dave went as the ship's cook. We spent 2 weeks here. It was terrific. And there were young people, people 18 to 24 years old, giving up a year, 2 years of their life to go in the raunchiest places and offer medical care and the gospel to the people they were ministering to. Whom do you serve? When I was a kid, my parents were one of the few adults that had an automobile. And they would pack that automobile with young people on Sunday morning and get them to Sunday school. That's my thought of, that's my exposure to the church. Get the kids in, get the kids in. They have to learn about Jesus. And we would do that. Where in the world are you making an impact for Jesus? Where in the world are you making an impact for Jesus? It's not that we were saved only to serve. We were saved to glorify God. We glorify God by serving people and encouraging them to trust in Jesus. The Christian life is built on the foundation of faith in Jesus, service to believers, godliness in conduct, hope in the future, and good works every day. Let's pray. Lord, we can't do enough for you. We can't. And if we think we have, we're fooling ourselves. that you would come into the world, humble yourself for our benefit. We thank you for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.